está disponible. Para interpretación, haga clic en el icono del globo terrestre en la parte inferior de la pantalla.
Hi everyone, my name is Remy Yamamoto, the Biden Traveling Press Secretary. Welcome to day two of convention and our briefing. I'm going to quickly run through our run of show and our speakers today, and then we'll go into some Q&A. So first, we're going to have Simone Sanders, the senior advisor for the Biden campaign, followed by Sochi Inayosa from the DNC and the communications director there. Then we'll have Kate Bedingfield, our deputy campaign manager and communications director, followed by our very special guest today, former Secretary of State, John Kerry. And then we're going to go into some questions. So if you have a question, hit the raise your hand signal on your screen. So with that, I'm going to pass it on to Simone.
Thank you so much, Remy. Greetings, everyone, and thank you so much for joining today. I know you all are very busy and there is not a lack of news to be made. So welcome to an exciting day two of the Democratic Convention. Yesterday, you all heard from a very diverse speaker lineup, including Senator Sanders, to Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, to Republican Governor John Kasich, and the former First Lady Michelle Obama. These diverse speakers articulated the theme of we the people, standing up and standing together, united as one. Building on that theme, today's theme is leadership matters. So what does leadership mean? It's about rising to meet the moment. To Joe Biden, it's about putting the country's interests ahead of your own. It's about taking on the tough fights, even when it's unpopular, and telling the truth no matter what. Leadership is about making sure the government, the military, the judiciary, the scientists, everyone is working in the national interest, not a president's personal political interest. As Sochi will further elaborate, tonight's focus is on the leaders and the experts, the veterans and the activists, all of those who seek to unite and not divide, and who step up and don't back down from a fight over what's right. So now I will pass it on to Sochi to go through further program highlights today. Thank you everyone for joining. Sochi?
Thank you so much, Simone. We're excited about tonight's program. It will feature healthcare activists, Americans sharing their healthcare stories, national security leaders, and Democrats from all over the country who have risen up to be leaders in their own communities. Speakers include former acting U.S. Attorney General Sally Yates, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, former Secretary of State John Kerry, who is with us here today, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Representative Lisa Blunt Rochester, former President Bill Clinton, and former Second Lady Dr. Jill Biden. Tonight, for our keynote address, instead of having one speaker behind a podium the way we usually do, we will feature a diverse group of 17 young electeds, rising stars from all over the country, ranging from state representatives to mayors, to Navajo Nation president, to members of Congress. They will offer different ideas and different perspectives during the keynote address, but everyone will speak to the future we're building together and why we need Joe Biden's leadership right now. In addition, we will be having a reimagined roll call that will take convention viewers to all 57 states and territories over the course of 30 minutes. They will tell a story about the strength of the American people in overcoming the chaos and crisis of Donald Trump and fighting for a better America. Viewers will hear from delegates, parents, teachers, small business owners, essential workers, activists, and elected leaders in the Democratic primary as they officially cast votes to nominate Joe Biden to become the next president. And viewers will see these votes cast not on a convention floor, but inside businesses, inside living rooms, and in front of iconic landmarks in cities and towns nationwide. With that, I'd like to pass it over to Kate Bedingfield.
Great, thanks, Sochi. So the contrast in leadership between Joe Biden and Donald Trump could not be more powerful. Donald Trump has gravely undermined our national security in a manner that no other president in the history of our country ever has, and in a way that connects to every aspect of American life. He has sold us out to rival nations, especially China and Russia, pummeled our alliances, and actively solicited interference in our elections, an attack on our very democracy. We know from Donald Trump's former national security advisor that he begged Xi Jinping, who he said he bonded with over the most beautiful piece of chocolate cake that you've ever seen, to help him win re-election. He later publicly called on China to investigate Joe Biden for his own benefit. And he less than half a year after, he echoed Chinese government propaganda to justify his inaction as the coronavirus spread like wildfire, despite Joe Biden and his own advisors repeatedly warning him to take this deadly threat seriously. Donald Trump invited Russia to interfere in the 2016 presidential election, and then on foreign soil in Helsinki, he sided with Vladimir Putin's lies about Russia's unprecedented attack on our sovereignty over the overwhelming bipartisan consensus in the United States and the entirety of the intelligence community. And a new bipartisan report from the Senate Intelligence Committee this morning has shed critical light on the degree to which his campaign welcomed that interference. The costs of his failed leadership every day. As American leadership and stability plummets, our alliances deteriorate, and the coronavirus that Trump gave the Chinese government a pass on when it mattered most devastates our country, the wealthiest in the history of the world, more significantly than any other. Donald Trump doesn't care about our families. He doesn't care about our national security, so much so that he has repeatedly put himself in the pocket of some of our most powerful competitors to the extreme detriment of those he's sworn to protect, the American people. All Donald Trump has ever cared about is himself, and that is a threat we cannot afford. So now I'd like to turn it over to our special guest for today's briefing, Secretary John Kerry, to talk about today's theme, which he will speak to tonight, Leadership Matters.
Okay, thank you very much. And thanks for succinctly putting together the reality of what we're facing today. It's my privilege to be able to share a few thoughts with everybody. And I know it's hard to separate politics. I wish I could just say there's no politics, only facts in what I'm going to say, but you be the judge of that. Leadership matters more today than almost at any time in my memory after many, many years in public life. We're facing multiple crises on a global basis, all of which affect the security of the United States very directly. The American people are at greater risk because of the presidency of Donald Trump. And this is a moment which, because of Donald Trump's deficits, the deficit of honesty, the deficit of relationships in the world, the deficit of a genuine foreign policy agenda, the deficit of knowledge and of the ability to be able to lead the world. I mean, for the first time in my memory as a public person and even back when I was serving in the military, the United States of America is not leader of the free world. The world does not have a leader of the free world at this moment. So you have France, Macron, and Merkel in Germany and others casting about trying hard, but no one easily replaces what Madeleine Albright and others have frequently reminded people is the indispensable nation. We are critical to helping to resolve these crises. And so this is a moment where we're fighting for the security of our nation and the security of the world because of the critical leadership role that we play. And as Michelle Obama pointed out last night so eloquently and capably, Donald Trump is just not equipped, not capable of doing what we need to do in the world today. We have the historic crisis of a pandemic, unlike anything we've seen in our lifetimes. We have the once in a generation crisis at this moment of the reckoning on race that is taking place in our own nation, which he has exacerbated and exploited. We have the difficulties of our own democracy producing what it is supposed to produce, a Congress that has been almost dysfunctional and difficult to herd in the right direction with the president who doesn't try to do that. And then, of course, we have growing global foreign policy challenges of increased focus on nuclear weapons, the potential of a new nuclear weapons race with the INF and START treaties in a state of flux with Russia. We have cyber warfare in a worse state than it has been with China, Russia, and other countries leading the charge. And the Obama administration, the Obama-Biden administration that I had the privilege of serving in, left Donald Trump with a growing economy, with an unprecedented series of 8 years of growing months from the moment President Obama came in. And Joe Biden, as we all know, was critical to the decision-making and leadership offered to the Congress to put the Recovery Act in place. So we had a huge wind at our backs moment with the growing economy, in addition to which we had a respected reputation in the world. We led the world in helping to make enormously important things happening, beginning with the Paris Agreement, with the nuclear agreement, and so forth. So now, and this is not an exaggeration, you all may recall the overheard conversation at a gathering in London where Macron and Merkel leaders were Canada, were all talking together, laughing and mocking our president. So much of a mockery that the president of the United States actually got on his airplane and flew back to the United States, avoiding the realities of diplomacy and the needs of leadership that Americans expected. So in fact, what Donald Trump inherited, which was this growing economy and a world of respect, he has turned into a world of chaos, literally. And our nation and the world, with respect to all of these critical priorities, is at much greater risk as a result of this. Climate change can only be solved by bringing countries together. We are the only nation in the world that has a president who has withdrawn from that climate agreement, who has set back our efforts for now almost 4 full years. When this president goes overseas nowadays, it's just everybody waiting for the next shoe to fall. And we usually come back losing rather than winning with respect to the goals and objectives that we had. So the bottom line is this: we have troops in countries still at risk. Donald Trump, without even consultation, without the normal process of a national security team, has made the decision to pull out of here or pull out of there, whether it's Syria or other places, creating consternation in the world with respect to the alliances that we have pledged to uphold and lead at the same time. So it should be clear to everybody, Republican and Democrat, president alike, ever since World War II, where we assumed this critical role of leader of the free world, Republicans and Democrats alike have shown respect for the presidency, respect for the truth, and respect even for our institutions. Donald Trump is attacking all of them and making the United States not only weaker in the world, but far more exposed to the current levels of dangers that we face. So I think tonight, hopefully through many different speakers, we will make it crystal clear to America and to the world that not only do we recognize that leadership matters, but that Joe Biden is going to bring us back, that Joe Biden comes to this job of the presidency, will come to the job of the presidency with greater experience than almost anybody ever before, with a stronger set of relationships, both here at home where it matters, as well as in the world, and with a steely grit and proven capacity to be able to be ahead of the curve on issues like genocide, the Balkans, on apartheid in South Africa, and so many other things. These 80 days from the end of this convention, which is what we will be measuring, can't go fast enough for many of us who have been so involved over our lifetimes in providing security for our nation. And we are looking forward to a Biden presidency to rescue not only our nation, but to bring the world back to a place of common sense and accomplishment.
Great.
Great. Thank you so much, Secretary Kerry. So now we're going to move into some questions. As a reminder, if you have a question, please hit the raise your hand function on your screen. So first, we're going to go to Johnny from ABC. Johnny, you should be unmuted.
Hey, sorry about that. It's actually Molly. Not sure what happened there, but I wanted to ask, last night we saw a lot of talk about the former vice president and knowing who he is, but we haven't necessarily heard a lot of talk about his vice presidential nominee, Kamala Harris. Obviously, Michelle Obama pre-taped her address, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about if you view Senator Harris being a bigger part of the convention nights as we go forward through this, and you expect to hear more about her tonight specifically.
Well, Molly, to that I would say she's obviously scheduled to speak later this week, and her speech will be a significant part of the program this week. I think you saw her in one of the signature video pieces last night alongside other Democrats who ran in 2020. So I think you will continue to see her throughout the program. She obviously, the partnership of the Biden-Harris ticket is a big focus of this convention. We view this as an opportunity to really lay out their positive vision for the country, what kind of governing partners they'll be in the White House. I think you will hear a lot about what exactly they will do on day one and beyond as they work to tackle the three crises that this country is facing right now, the public health crisis, the economic crisis, the racial justice crisis. So the short answer is yes, you will certainly hear more from her throughout this week, and we're very much looking forward to her remarks on Wednesday.
Thanks. Next, we're gonna go to Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, my question is for Secretary Kerry as a, it's really a campaign question as a former nominee. Secretary Kerry, when you campaigned in states like Wisconsin in 2004, you crisscrossed the state on buses, you went to big cities and small towns. It was an extremely retail campaign for a presidential campaign. And I just wonder, as someone who's done this, whether you think, what you think is lost either for the candidate or the campaign in a pandemic when you can't do that, when your convention is virtual, when your campaign is virtual?
Well, I think no one should underestimate the power of a virtual communication. I mean, we're talking, you and I right now, and I think that it may even eliminate some of the chaff and allow people to focus on the message and get things out with a clarity that you might not otherwise get in the, back and forth of the other kind of retail. That's an experiment. We don't know the answer to that yet. We'll see what happens. I'm convinced, I suspect that Vice President Biden will find a way to get events to take place where we're not putting people at risk and it's not irresponsible. But I think most people are admiring the fact that he's been living by the rules. He's listening to the scientists. He's listening to the medical experts. And the President of the United States is not. And we're in the predicament we're in today. So that contrast, frankly, stands pretty starkly. And I think most Americans understand it. And evidently, the Vice President is not having trouble getting his message through. Because it's very clear from the polls that whatever amount of lead you want to say, he's been consistently in the lead. I think the president, the level of irresponsibility in his approach to the masks, his lack of leadership, his lack of understanding, his early denial, the same kind of denial you have on climate change is the same kind of denial he gave us as he labeled COVID-19 a Democrat conspiracy initially, and then a Chinese one. So this country, Michelle said it so clearly, we just can't afford this. We cannot afford a president is irresponsible. And I have a feeling that over the next 80 days, however the campaign unfolds, the message to Americans is going to be crystal clear, unmissable.
Thank you. So we have time for one last question, and we're going to go to Josh Jamerson at the Wall Street Journal. Josh?
Hi, is the roll call package pre-recorded, and is the vice president going to make an appearance as part of that? And then also, can you guys just talk about how you're measuring attendance and viewership of the convention?
So the roll call is a mix of live and taped speakers. In terms of whether the vice president makes an appearance, I will leave that till tonight. We don't want to give away everything, but yes, it's a mix of live and taped voices in the roll call tonight. In terms of how we're measuring audience, I mean, look, for us, we really wanted to think about this as a convention across America. We are using this as an opportunity, as the secretary was talking about, to reach out to people directly in their living rooms across the country in a way that a traditional convention doesn't always do that. So, you know, looking at digital outreach, obviously looking at television numbers, but really looking at, you know, where we're able to meet people in their homes. And I would expect that we'll probably have some news to make today about the digital reach of last night's show. But, you know, we've really thought about how we can reach people on non-traditional platforms, and how we can really make this a dynamic experience for the person watching at home who, you know, who might not otherwise tune in to an hour plus of convention coverage. So we think that the format and the mix of produced content and live speakers makes for a really dynamic viewing experience for voters all across the country.
Great. Thanks, Kate. And thank you everyone for joining us. That's about all the time we have. So if you have any follow-ups, please email the press inbox. Thanks so much.